Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph of the Beis, five lines from the bottom. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chol K'ir Ach Shnei Shvatim. If one city in Eretz Yisrael, most of it is in the territory of one Shevet, and some of it is in the territory of another Shevet, every Shevet remains, everybody remains within their territory. You cannot have one city be divided amongst two Shvatim. We learned in our Mishnah that a city cannot become an Ir HaNidachas. We learned the people who are convincing the people, unfortunately, to worship Avodah Zarah are from that city, Umaisa Shevet, and from that Shevet. My laugh, says the Gemara, presumably, what does the Mishnah mean? Afgav the Midchem Meisir, even though the people who are trying to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah are from the same city, that alone is insufficient. E Ikka Meisir Shevet, if they are from the same Shevet, then they will be considered medichim, eloi, loi, but if not, not. So we see, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, that we could have people who live in that city and not from that Shevet. And that's why the Mishnah is teaching us that that will not be a situation where it will become an Eidachas. So isn't that clearly indication that you could have people from a different shevet in that city? Isn't this clearly indication? One city could belong to two different shvatim. So that isn't necessarily the way to understand the case. The Nafla Birusha, we could say that speaking about that the people indeed live in the city, but they're not from that shevet. So why are they doing there? Because their mother was from another shevet, and the mother had no brothers, that we learned extensively in Masechta Baba Basra, that under such circumstances, the mother receives the Yerusha from a father, and that ultimately passes on to her sons, who are members, who live in that city, but not members of the Shevet. Inami, the Yavna Lebetana, even simpler, that somebody gave her a gift of a piece of property in a city. They gave somebody, not gave her, gave somebody a piece of property in a city. And now he is not from the Shevet that's in that city, but he got a piece of property in that city as a gift. Ask the Gemara, Esvei, Rabbi Yochanan asks another question. The Pasuk says, Orim Teisha Meishnei Ashvatim Elam. The Shevet Yehuda and Shimon got Teisha Meishnei Ashvatim Elam, got these nine cities from. They got these nine cities. My love, doesn't the pasuk mean to say, Arba Upalgamahai, Upalgamahai, that each one of these shvatim from the nine cities that we are speaking out, each one got 4.5. Now, how is it possible to get 4.5 cities if not that we say, Shmamino, again, that Chalk and Irachas, the Shnei Shvatim, that one city could be divided amongst two shvatim? Says the Marloi. Says the Gemara, that isn't the way to understand what necessarily the Pasuk means to say. The way to understand the Pasuk, what it means to say is, Arba, Mihai v'chamash Mahai, one of these two Shvatim got 4 cities, one got 5 cities. Says the Gemara, if that's what happened, Ichachi, shouldn't the Pasuk have been more explicit? Lifrish Purushay, shouldn't the Pasuk said that one got 4 and one got 5? Instead of saying a total of 9, says the Gemara Kashim. But we have a rule that we've discussed many times in our Shurim, that there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta versus when the Gemara uses the word Kashim. When the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta, it means it's a question that doesn't have an answer. When the Gemara uses the word Kasha, it's a question, but there's an answer. So the Ram suggests that the reason that the Pasuk did not divide it into two, saying this city, this Shevet got 4 and this Shevet got 5, explains the Ran. The reason is because Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin lived intermingled with each other. And since their shears and Eretz Yisrael were so intermingled with each other, the Torah did not separate which cities were Yehuda, which Shevet were Binyamin, which Shevet were Yehuda, and which Shevet were Shimon. Ibailhu, Hotchem Eileim, if the people of a city decided to worship Avodah Zarah on their own, not that there was a person that convinced them to do so, Mahu, is it considered like an Iri Dachos or not? Amrachmana, V'yedichu, the Gemara explains what is the basis of the question. Tari Kadosh uses the word V'yedichu, and we should say, Amrachmana, that other people were the ones that convinced them to worship Avodah Zarah, Lo Shotcha Me'aleim, and not that they on their own decided to act that way. Idoma, or perhaps what the pasuk means to say is that you become Aaron Idachas, Afilu Hotcha Me'aleim, even if it was on their own. And the way the Aruch HaNet tells us to understand the Gemara's question is that we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Mem Heyam Beis a concept about being a Kro Kedeksiv, that whenever the Torah speaks about a certain circumstance, does the Torah mean to say exactly what it meant and nothing else? There the discussion was regarding the Goyal Adam. The pasuk says, Goyal Adam Hu Yamas Es Ritzeach. So does the Torah mean to say that only the Goyal Adam could kill the murderer, no one else? Or does the Torah mean to say that the Goyal Adam is the preferable way that this person should be eliminated, but not that that's what it must be? And that's why the same question is here. When the Torah says V'yadichu, does the Torah mean only V'yadichu, and anything else won't be, or it doesn't make a difference? Toshma, so Gemara brings a raya. We learned in our Mishnah, Dichu Nosh V'Ktanim, if women or Ktanim were the ones that convinced them to worship the Avodah Zarah, then they are not, that city does not become an Eir Hadachas. But my, why, ask the Gemara, if a city becomes an Eir Hadachas just if they did it on their own, so by being convinced by the women and children should not be any worse, Lahavi Kaducha Me'aleim, answers the Gemara, different. Hanech Boson of Shai Gridi, somebody who decided to worship Avodah Zarah on their own, is obviously very connected to the Avodah Zarah, and they're not going to retract. However, if they were convinced by people who aren't so convincing, that they may back off on, and therefore it's not the same. So we said that a city doesn't become an Eir Hadachas until most of the city worships Avodah Zarah. But ask the Gemara, we have here a dilemma. Heichev dinin, exactly what should we do? As we are identifying people who worship the Avodah Zarah, Rahman Slan, and judging them as individuals who worship the Avodah Zarah, and there's a concept that we often discuss of Inui Hadin. And Inui Hadin means that once somebody is sentenced, we don't want to cause him to have to wait, but rather he is put to death immediately. Because the Torah says, we have to treat everybody nicely, and making this person sit and wait on death row is too painful. So now, what are we going to do? If we're going to judge him and sentence him, and now we don't know what's going to be, is the city going to be a city that majority worship the Avodah Zarah or not, we're going to have this person waiting around. And to do it, to judge them all at the same time, that is impossible. Continues the Yad Raman explaining the Gemara that why don't we start each case and not do the final sentencing until we're ready to sentence everybody at the same time. So he says that isn't really a good option, because when you have a case and the Dayanim are involved in the case, so at that point, the Dayanim are able to make decisions what should happen here, because the arguments and the question, is this person innocent or guilty, is fresh in the Dayan's mind. But if what happens is that we're going to wait
till between the actual trial and the sentencing, there's a real concern that he's going to forget, that the Dayanim will forget. And that, of course, is not fair to the people on trial, and therefore such an option is not really an option. I'm Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, in answer to this question, what we do is Danan V'chayfshin, Danan V'chayfshin. We indeed have it in Torah, and if the person is guilty, he's put to skila, and we can't continue doing so until we come to a point where the majority of the city is indeed Avdei Avodah Zarah, and then they turn into Ir Nidachas. There's a very interesting machlokes achronim now. As we've discussed many times in our shiurim about Ir Nidachas, there's a big difference between somebody who's Avdei Avodah Zarah in Ir Nidachas versus somebody who's Avdei Avodah Zarah not as part of Ir Nidachas. Avdei Avodah Zarah, not part of Ir Nidachas, gets skila. Avdei Nidachas, somebody Ir Nidachas gets saif. But there's one more difference. The Ir Nidachas, everything that's owned by the people from the city is burnt. Whereas by skila, somebody who's with skila, that is not the case. So now, this person got skila. So, and now the city ultimately became Ir Nidachas. So the question that we have is, should they, if they got skila, then their money is not going to be destroyed? Or because ultimately they were part of Ir Nidachas, their money should be burnt? And this is actually a machlokes between machlokes achronim. I saw that the Sefer Avnei Shoyam says that since at the end of the day they were members of Ir Nidachas, so that's why even though when they were sentenced they got skila, their money will be destroyed. The Chazon Ish doesn't agree. He says that we have to follow what the Torah says. And if the Torah says that there's skila, then the money is not destroyed. And if there's sayif, the money is destroyed. And we can't make any hybrid. Amalei ula nimtza atamanadinim she'ela. So first the Gemara says that we just put them into jail and wait. But that causes inu yadan, as we've been explaining. Elamula, donim a cyclin, and we kill skill until we see that it's a roif. Itma, Rabbi Yochanan, donim a cyclin. That's the way we do this city. And Rishlokish Amma, Marbalam Bati Dinim. We add Bati Dinim, that they should be able to have all of these Dine Torah done in one day. So, of course, the Rishonim ask, we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Mem Vav that we don't do two din tyrus in one day. And here, the Beis Din do so many din tyrus at one time. How is that halachically acceptable? So the Rishonim reply that we don't do two din tyra in one day in a capital offense. That's when it's two totally different types of cases. But here, all the cases are really very similar. It's all about, is this an Ir Nidachas? So even though it's more than one din Torah in the day, we'll have to do multiple Dine Torah in one day. Eini, ask the Gemara that they're all done. These din Torahs are all done at one time. Eini, Vam Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yosef, the Pasuk says, V'etzeseh shehi o'es ishahi, o'es 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 Ish v'isha atamaitz l'shrecha. Individuals who worship Avodah Zarah, those din tyrus are done by the Sanhedrin of their city. You go back all the way to the beginning of Masechta, the 23-member Beis Din. V'atamaitz kulera kul shrecha. They have to be judged by the Sanhedrin. So the Mara's question is, what are you accomplishing, Reish Lakish, by having all of these batei din? It won't accomplish anything. We all have to, all these people have to go to the Sanhedrin Gedolah, says the Gemara. There was a procedure. Ella, Marmalan batei dinim, they had mati batei din in the city that were able to do many cases at the same time. Omeyayinim b'deyineim, and they're the ones that do all the legwork. And then, maskinalei the Beis Din HaGadol, and based on the recommendation of the Beis Din in the city, they're taken up to the Beis Din HaGadol, the Gamalei the Denayu, and they just affirm if this
is the correct psak, adeva katlilei. And that's why it could all be done in a short amount of time. The pasuk says, chaketakas yoshveir, and then the Mishnah discussed people who are in a city temporarily, how are they considered members of the city or not, towards determining if we have most of the city worshipping of Avodah Zarah or not. Tanabana chameres agamelas, people who are coming on donkeys and camels, haiveres v'makam v'makam, that travel from city to city, lona b'toicha v'hutchima, if they were there in the city and they became, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah with the city, so the halacha is, im neshtar shmoshim yoyim, if they were there for 30 days, so then they're part of the city. And therefore, hein tzayif u'mayna mavad, they get the din of an ir nidachas that they're killed with tzayif and the money is lost. But if they were there for pachs mekan for less than 30 days, then they're not considered part of the ir nidachas. And therefore, if they worship the Avodah Zarah, they're treated like an individual who worships the Avodah Zarah, that the halacha is hein b'skilu u'mamon polad. So the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara, we have to have two conditions. What two points? One is if they don't sleep over in the city. If they go elsewhere every night, then they're not considered part of the city. On the other hand, even though it is their intention to go back to where they come from, as long as they remain in the city for 30 days, consecutive 30 days, then they're considered members of the city. Rimini asked the Gemara, the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Basra, the Zayin Amabeis teaches us, Kami yebi'ir, v'yeh ka'anshi'ir, how long does somebody have to be in the city to be considered anshi'ir? Shnei Masa Chodesh. So we see that there it says 12 months, and here it says 30 days. Answers the Gemara, there are different categories. Amar Rava Loikasha, Hala Mehevah B'mnei Masa. That to be considered a full-fledged city of a member of the city, you need to be there 12 months. Holam haveh miyosvei masa. Yosvei masa is somebody who is an inhabitant, but not a citizen. And the Gemara says, v'hatanya, that a raya to this distinction, hamuda no meir, if somebody makes a nether that he won't have any benefit from people of a certain city, im yesh odom sheshtar shnei masa chodesh, then if there's somebody who is living in the city for 12 months, he's considered part of the B'nai Yair, and the person who made this nether, Osel HaNefsumenu, cannot have any benefit from him. But if the person is in the city, Pachs Mikan, less than 12 months, then Dalach will be Mutal HaNefsumenu, you can have benefit from him. Miyosh V'Yir, but if the way he expressed the nether, is they said he's not going to have Hano from Yosh V'Yir, then Dalach changes. If the person was there for 30 days, you can't have any benefit from him. But if he was there for less than 30 days, then mutal hasmenu. So we see there's a difference between B'nei Ha'ir and Yoshvi'im. So we learned in the Mishnah that all the property that belongs to the people of that city is destroyed. But the Mishnah differentiated between Tzadikim and Rishoyim. And says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hachram Oysoi, Pradla Nechsech Tzadikin Shebechutzullah. If there are Tzadikin who didn't worship Avodah Zarah, and their assets are not in the city, then the halacha is, those assets are not Osubano. Veskal Sheba, L'rabbis Nechsech Tzadikin Shebetoichai. But assets that are owned by the Tzadikin, but are in this city which became the Eir Nidachas, become Osur. Shlola, the Torah says, the word shlala, to exclude v'loy shlal shemayim. What that means, we'll see. V'skol shlala, then the Torah says, v'skol shlala, rabbis nechse rishoyim shechatzullah. Property, that's assets that are owned by rishoyim, who worship Avodah Zarah, even though those assets aren't actually in the city, they're still destroyed. Amar b'shemem neyma, amar Torah, nechse tzadikim shebetoicha yevedu. So if these assets belong to tzadikim, who didn't worship Avodah Zarah, why should they be destroyed? Even if they're in that city, answers the Gemara, Mi garm lahem shadur b'toichem. So says the Gemara, what caused that a tzaddik should want to live in a place of Rishoyim? Obviously, because it was a city that it was a good place to live because of the financial opportunities. And the tzaddik should not live in a city with Rishoyim. And therefore, if he has money in that city, lefikach minim of it. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the reason the Rav Shimon is following his style, the B'chol Torah Kula. B'chol Torah Kula of Shimon is Doirish Tam Dekra, explains the reason for what the Torah says. Says the Tosfos Yontif that he doesn't know where Rashi says that it's only Rav Shimon could hold this way. Because the Tosfos Yontif explains that indeed Rav Yehuda is the one that Rav Shimon is the one that's Doirish Tam Dekra. But he explains, when is Rav Shimon Doirish Tam Dekra? When does Rav Shimon do so? Rav Shimon does so, he explains, in a situation where there could be a nafkamina lalocha. But if there's no nafkamina, and it's just trying to explain what the Torah says, then it doesn't require that only Rav Shimon hold that way. Everyone could hold that way. We're not limited to Rav Shimon holding that. We're not limited to Rav Shimon holding that way. Everybody could explain what the Torah means to say. Amar, the pasuk says it's called Shloa Tikbots. The rabbis Nixay Rishoyim Shabchutzalor. The property owned by Rishoyim that isn't even in the city. Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says Abinikbotsim Latoychay. Even though he says that it's property, any property of the Rishoyim, that is only if it's possible that on the day that this city was declared as an Eir Nidachas, they brought those assets to the city of Eir Nidachas. But if that cannot be accomplished, the other city's too far away, for example, then it doesn't become an Eir Nidachas. Amar Rav Chizda continues the Gemara, Pekdoinus Shalhan Shehen Medachas, assets that people of the Eir Nidachas own, that were given to other people to hold, Mutarim, are not considered property of the Eir Nidachas. So ask the Gemara Hechidami, what is exactly meant with this halacha that Rav Shimon just said? Ilam the Eir Acheres, Visna Begava, if we're going to say that these property belong to other people of another city that were brought to the Eir Nidachas, Pshita the Matarim, of course those assets should not be burned. Lav Shlalahu, it's not considered property of the Eir Nidachas. Elo, what must be the case? That who? It belongs to people who live in the Eir Nidachas. However, that property is Isda Be'er Acharis, it's elsewhere. So again, we need to understand, as we just discussed, Eden the Kavitzin L'Toychai, if it's the kind of assets that can be brought this day here, then the question is, Amayim Matarim. We just said that any assets of the Rishoyim that can be brought here today are Osir. V Eden the Kavitzin L'Toychai, if the kind of assets that cannot be brought here today, Harmer Chada Zimna, who we just learned there of Chizda Toras, that those assets are not burnt. Says Mar Loi. The case here is Loilam the Eir Acheres, the Mifkid B'Toicha. It's speaking about assets of another city that belong to another city that are being held in the Eir Nidachas. Hacha Maiskinen, the Kabbalah Echrayis, that the people in the Eir Nidachas who took on responsibility for these assets. So Matatayim Akim the Kabbalah Echrayis. Since they took on responsibility, kididei dami, it should be considered like it belongs to the people of the Eir Nidachas, kamash mlon, that we don't say that. So the question that we know many Rishonim ask, that the halacha is that on Pesach you're allowed to have chametz that isn't yours in your property, but if you took on the responsibility, then it's considered that you're responsible for this chametz, and you're not allowed to have such chametz. And if you'll have even chametz shel nochri, the chametz of a nochri that you're responsible for, you have to dispose. Otherwise, you'll have bayu ra. Why don't we say the same by Eir Nidachas? So the Tosfos Rosh explains by chametz is the Torah says lo yira lecha. And the Torah is teaching us, Chazal teach us, that if the Yisrael is responsible for that chametz, it's already in the category of lecha. But by Eir Nidachas, the Torah uses a different word. The Torah uses the words kol shalala. Kol shalala means that it has to be full-fledged, owned by the members of the Eir Nidachas. And therefore, it's very different. The Taras Chaim explains the thinking behind this. Taras Chaim explains as follows. Says, what's pshat in what we've been learning, that the halacha is that the property of Eir Nidachas must be destroyed. So it's quite simple. It's a punishment to those who worship the Avodah Zarah, that their property should be destroyed. If we think about it that way, he explains, so if somebody's watching somebody else's asset, even if he's responsible for that asset, that person didn't worship Avodah Zarah. If that person did not worship Avodah Zarah, it doesn't deserve that he should be punished for that. Whereas, and therefore, if he's just responsible for somebody else's assets, it won't have to be burned. Whereas by chametz, the Torah doesn't want that there should be chametz in your guardship. And if you're watching somebody else's chametz and you're responsible, it's not a question, does that chametz deserve to be punished or not? It's a question of not having any chametz in your possession. Amar Rav Chisda, behema, if you have an animal that's owned by two people, chetzio shel Eir Nidachas, half of it is owned by a member of the Eir Nidachas, v'chetzio el Echaris, and therefore it should be destroyed, and half of it by somebody from a different city who's not from the Eir Nidachas. The entire animal is a sura. Whereas, when we speak about an Isa, a doe, which is owned by two people, chetzio shel Eir Nidachas, v'chetzio shel Eir Echaris, b'teres. My Tama, says the Gemara, behema commander loy pligi damim. You can't eat an animal until both simonim are cut. And here, half the animal, which means half the simonim, are owned by somebody from Eir Nidachas. So this animal can never be eaten. Isa, when we speak about a doe, command the palgadami. We divide the doe. The part that belongs to Eir Nidachas is treated like Eir Nidachas, and the other one, not. The Yad Ramah explains this concept, I think, a drop stronger. He says, an animal cannot be divided. You can't divide a live animal. Doe is, so it's not Aymedes L'chalukah. Doe is Aymedes L'chalukah. Doe is something which is divisible. And since doe is something which is divisible, therefore, the halacha is that the doe should be divided. The Rishash explains it this way. Because he says, by a doe, each part of the doe is independent of the other part of the doe. The fact that it's all one doe doesn't mean that one part of the doe requires the other part of the doe to exist. By an animal, you have to have both simonim. The entire animal is an animal. You can't divide the animal. And therefore, the halacha is that the animal is considered an Eir Nidachas animal. Barav Chizda, behemis, when we speak about the animal that is belongs to an idachas, that we're saying that we have to kill it. Matas aniba shchita l'tara midei nevila. We know that when we think of an animal being slaughtered with shchita, so the reason we do shchita on an animal is in order that we should be able to eat the animal. But there's another thing that the shchita accomplishes. If an animal is killed through shchita, it's not an nevela. An nevela gives off tumah. But an animal that was killed through shchita will not be a nevela, will not be tamei. So the question is, the animal that was from the Eir Nidachas, that as we're explaining, must be killed. But the question we have now is, if you did shchita on it, will it at least accomplish that it won't be tamei? And the Gemara explains the question. Lefi cherev avar rachmana, the Torah considers all animals in that city that they should be stabbed, make it into nevela, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. Loshna mishchach de mishchat, loshna kattel kattel. It doesn't make a difference if you shechted or you killed it. It is considered an animal that's an avela. I didn't makim the shechta. At the end of the day, you did shechita on it, so it accomplishes mahanei le shechita. The shechita accomplishes at least that it shouldn't be an avela with the tumas navela. What is the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. By Rabbi Yosef, ser noshim tzadkanias. You have women who did not worship Avodah Zarah, but we're learning that anything that tzaddikim have in the city has to be burnt. What is the status of the hair that they are that they have? Mao, is that what is the what will be the halacha that since it's in the city, even though it belongs to tzaddikim, it must be burnt? Amarava, are you saying the Rishayas, by asking this question, it seems that it's obvious to you that the hair of the Rishayas is Asur. That's the Gemara, but why would you say that? The Pasuk says, Ves koshla al tikbitz al toik rechava v'srafta be'ish, ksiv, mishen mechus al kvitz v'srefa. What objects must be burned? Something that has to be gathered together and then burned. Yotzezeh, but when we speak about hair, shemechus al talisha, it has to be first cut off the person's hair, kvitz, and then gathered together v'srefa. So what the Gemara is saying is, anybody's hair, even the hair of the Rishoyim, is not burned. Certainly not the hair of the Tzidkanius. Ella Marava, that's correct. Hair is not a question. The question is, Bepeya Nachris, a woman who is wearing a wig. What is the halacha of that wig? And the Gemara is assuming now that the hair of the wig of the Rishoyis is certainly burned. And now the Gemara wants to know, what will be the status of the hair of the Tzidkanius? Hey, Chidami. Ask tomorrow, let's understand what is your question. If it's on their body, and the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, just like the Gemara never asked the question about the garments that the people of the Ir and the Dachas are wearing, what would be their halacha? That was never a question the Gemara asked, because it's obvious to the Gemara that they are, that such, that not burnt. So the wig that the woman is wearing is the same. Says the Gemara, correct. Loi tzricha. It's speaking about a case to Tali B'Sifta, that the wig is hanging, she's not wearing it. Do we say, that it's considered like anything, like all the other assets of the city, and therefore it should be burnt? Aduma, even the Isle of Anafka, since it's meant to be worn, even though if they're not actually wearing it at this moment, it should be considered Klavusha Dama, it's considered like a garment, and the Gemara remains with a taiku. The Mishnah says, "Kol shalat tikbetz atoich rechava." So everything has to be brought to the town square. Tanabonim ain law. Let's say the city does not have such a rechava. Ain la rechayv ain anasas in the dachas. It doesn't become a der in the dachas. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rekiva Omer ain la rechayv. If not, oisin la rechayv. Ask the Gemara. B'may kamifki. What is the basis of the machlokes? Mas sover. That in order to be considered Rechava, it had to be the Rechava there before it was declared in the Dachas Mikar Mashma. Kiva Sav Rechava Hashtanan Mashma. It has, as long as it has a Rechav altogether. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Ran has a different way of explaining the Gemara. He says that Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that you have to have a Rechav. It's not just that you have to have a town square. It has to be a town square where people gather and do whatever they do. And therefore, if didn't have it at that time, now it can become a nidachas. Rav Kiva says it just needs to have a town square. The fact that it is or isn't or wasn't used as a town square is immaterial. V'agdesh shabar yiftu. We learned in the Mishnah that if there's anything hegdish in the city, it should be redeemed. Any trumas should be left yirkavu to become spoiled. And Maisa Sheni, the Kisei Kodesh Yignazu should be buried. Tanaban Hayaba Kachim. If there's Kachim in the Ir Nidachas, Kachim is Bayach. If they were animals that were designated to be brought as a carbon, Yamusu. We bring them in a place where they will die by themselves. Kachim by the Kabbais, we donated something for the Beis HaMikdash, Yiftu. That should be redeemed. Trumas Yirkavu, or Master Sheni, the Hegdish Yignazu. Rav Shimon Omer, the Pasuk says, Hachem Oisves Kol Shabavas Behemta. From here we learn, Loi Behemis Bechar, or Maisa. These animals are not treated together with all the other animals of the Ir Nidachas. And when the Torah says, Ves Kol Shlola Tikbats Atak Rechava, Prat Lekesav Hegdish Rekesav Maisa Sheni. If you have money that was designated for Hegdish, or you had redeemed Maisa Sheni money, that money should not be destroyed together with the rest of the money of the Ir Nidachas. The halacha of a bechor is that when the behar, when a person has a firstborn male animal, that is given to the kohen, and the kohen is supposed to bring it on the mizbeach, and it's basically treated more or less like kachim kalim, like kavim shlomim. If you have a bechor that's a balmum, then it becomes the kohen's property. It eaten in any way. It just can't, it has certain limitations. You're not allowed to cut its wool. We're not allowed to work with that animal. Animal that's maisa behema, the halacha is that that animal is brought on the mizbeach, and it too is treated essentially like carbon shlomim. But if it's a balmum, it becomes the property of the owner. So now the Gemara analyzes this price. Amaba hayba kachim, kachim mizbeach yimusu. Says the Gemara, v'ma yimusu. Why should we force this animal to be killed? If this animal is not considered like the property of the Ir Nidachas, if it's not considered like the property of the Ir Nidachas, so then why not? Yirash Yistavu, why don't we wait till the animal becomes a bamum? V'yimachru, and then we'll sell off the animal. V'yiplu de'in l'dava, and we could use the money for carbon that's brought when the Mizbeach is not being used. Answers the Gemara, we don't want to use this money to ultimately be the source for an animal that's brought as a carbon. Because Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the pasuk says, Zevach Rishoyim To'eva, that under all circumstances, an animal that was brought for money, from that type of money, should not be brought. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says that this money that we're speaking about is not Mamon Balam Hu. Rather, it's not considered Mamon of Hegdish, considered under the ownership of the owner. Why? Because as we know, there are two ways of donating a carbon. You could say Hare Zu Oila, you say that this specific animal should be brought as a carbon, or you could say Hare Eilai Oila, I have the responsibility to bring the carbon. What's the difference? If you say Hare Zu, and then something happens to the animal, it need not be replaced. If you said Hare Eilai, and then something happens to the animal, you have to replace it with another animal. So says Rish Lakish, the Bryce is referring to a situation where somebody said a ray of lie. If he said a ray of lie, he's going to have to replace the animal. And Rav Shimon he, the Omar, that in such a situation, it's considered mum and balam, since the owner has this level of responsibility, it's considered mum and balam. That's why it should be considered in the Dachas property. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that this part of the Braisa is stating the opinion of Rav Shimon. Hamid the Sefer, we find later in the Braisa, as we learned the Braisa a few moments ago, Rav Shimon is introduced. Isn't that clearly indication that Reisha, that the first part of the Braisa is Lav Rav Shimon, is not Rav Shimon's opinion. Ella, says the Gemara, the behemoth that we're speaking about at the beginning of the Braisa is an animal that was designated as a carbon, which is Kachim Kalim. And it follows, and the Bryce is following Alib Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Damar, Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion is that since by Kachim Kalim, a good part of the animal is given to the owner to eat, it's considered mum and balam. And therefore, it should be considered the property of the city, of people from the city of Enidachas. Aval Kachim Kachim. So according to, and that's why the halacha is that we leave them to Yamusu to die. So according to this, what are we saying? That if it was kachim kachim, then nobody suggests that kachim kachim is mum and balam. The halacha would be yiftu. That the halacha is that that animal should let become bamum and then redeem it and use the money for carbon. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the Braisa means to teach us? Because Adatani Sefer, since we learned further in the Braisa, that by kachim kachim, the kabayis, the yiftu, that's where we redeem it. Isn't that clearly indication? If the halacha will be that even by kachim kachim, the halacha is yiftu, the braisa lifla v'listam b'didah. The medvam amurim, when is the halacha that it goes l'misa b'kachim kalim? Av kachim kachim, yiftu. The braisa should say even by kabonis, certain times it's yiftu. Answers the Gemara. Mekivin dikachata shemesa b'leil, there's a halacha l'moshim Sinai. That a carbon chattis that was designated by a person, and then that person died, that there's a halacha that that animal goes l'misa azla. And the way we always explain that halacha is because what is the purpose of the karmel chatas? The purpose of the karmel chatas is to bring a kapara to the individual who has to bring the karmel chatas. The person's death is the biggest kapara. So therefore, if the animal that we're talking about is kachi kachi makarmel chatas, since the owner of this animal, a person who lives in Eir Nidachas, is going to be killed, so therefore his animal, the karmel chatas that he designated, is l'misa azla. So therefore, it's not even by all kachi kachim would be the halacha yiftu. That's why the Brisa avoided speaking that case. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Yochanan, Lamakrish Lakish, that didn't hold like Rish Lakish, that only kachim kalim is yamusu. Av kachi kachim yiftu, because he says, Zevach Rishayim Teva. And therefore, any money that emanates from a Rasha should not be used for carbon. El Rish Lakish, doesn't he agree, ask the Gemara, to the concept of Zevach Rishayim Teva? And if he agrees to the concept of Zevach Rishayim Teva, so why didn't he explain the Brisa? My Tamil, I'm a Krab Yochanan. Amalach, Ki Amrina Zevach Rishayim Teva, Hanimel Hichd Isna Benayu. When will we say that there's a concept of Zevach Rishayim Teva? Is when the owner is still here. And the owner of money, the owner of a carbon that's still here, such money should not be used. He who's still here, his money should not be used for carbon. It's inappropriate that his money should be used for carbon. But here, this owner is not here anymore. He's getting killed because he's a member of the Eir Nidachas. Hacha, once this person is not here, and we're going to be paid it, it's not that animal that this person designated. We're being paid it, therefore, there's no concept, says Rish Lakish of Zevach Rishayim Teva. It's only a concept when it's the actual animal or actual money that the Russia donated. Says, what is the case? If these are healthy animal, Bechor Maisa, so as we explained earlier, that is carbon, and therefore it's shlal shemayim hu. And we already spoke about shlal shemayim. Ela babal mumim. So if it's babal mumim, why are they left to live? We explained that a babal mum bechor or babal mum meiser is considered the property of the person who received it. Shlalaninu. Answers the Gemara. Amar avina loyalam babal mumim. We're speaking here about babal mumim. When does the halacha that the animals of that city have to be destroyed? It's only if they're eaten as animal that I own and I eat meat of my animal. Yatsa elu, but these animals, even though the kohen who received the bechor or the owner of that ma'isa behema, which is baal mum, eats it, they're not eating it like they eat any other meat that they own. Ein nechal b'taris behemtecha al b'taris bechor or ma'isa. They're eaten because they're Bechor Maisa, and therefore they're considered Shlal Shemayim. And the way I saw some Rishonim explain is when you eat meat, meat is meat. This is not called just meat. It's called Bechor meat. It's called Maisa meat. And the Halacha, the Behemtecha, is only on regular meat, not Bechor meat, not Maisa meat. Or Peliga the Shmuel, and this disagrees, this is in contrast to what Shmuel said, that nifta. So Gemara first asks, "My comma, what is meant when Shmuel said the words hakel karav akol nifta?" Hakama, kol shikarav kishutam, anything that's brought on the mizbeach when it's healthy, the nifta kishubamum, and is redeemed if it became a bamum. That's mishlala imit. The word shlala says that it's not considered like the other animals of Eir Nidachas. The kol shikarav shutam. But when you have a situation that the animal is brought when it's healthy on the Mizbeach, then if the Kishibal Mum, it's not redeemed, it doesn't need redemption. The Bechor Maisa, if the Bali Mum, don't need redemption. They just automatically are eaten. That we learn from the word Behemta, that Loi Behem is Bechor Maisa. So according to Shmuel, Rav Shimon's speaking about Bechor Maisa that are healthy, and we're learning from the word behemta that the halacha is that they're not considered product, something that belongs to the city. But indeed, according to Shmuel, B'chor or Maisa Bal Mum will be treated like all the other animals of the Nidachas. Ravina disagrees, and he holds that both the B'chor or Maisa animals that are healthy are not part of the animals of the city, and even the Balimum, Rav Shimon will hold, are not part of the city's animals and don't have to be destroyed, even though they may be eaten by the Kohen or the owner of the Maisa Bema. We learned in the Mishnah, Trumos are Yirkavu. Amar Rav Chisda, Lo Yishanu El Truma B'Yad Yisrael. If the Truma was separated by the Yisrael and not yet given to the Kohen, Avo Truma B'Yad Kohen, what, once the Truma is given to the Kohen, Kivan the Mamonahu, it becomes the full-pledged property of the Kohen, and if the Kohen is a member of the Ira and the Dachas, then the Halach is that Tisarf, it should be burned. Maser of Yosef, we learned in the Mishnah, Maiser Sheni v'Kisvei Kodesh Yignazu. For Maiser Sheni b'Yad Yisrael, when the Maiser Sheni is in the hand of the Yisrael, it's Ketruma b'Yad Kohen Dami. The Kohen is the owner of the Truma, the Yisrael is the owner of the Maiser Sheni, and yet we don't treat them the same. Here it says, with Ketani Yignazu, says the Gemara Ela Itma Hachi Itma. Amar Rav Chisda Lo Yishanu, when the Mishnah said that Truma is Tirkavu, El B'Truma B'Yad Kohen, because even though it's his property, but it's Truma. And since it's Truma, it has to be treated with the proper respect. And therefore, instead of being burnt, it should be Yirkavu. That's when the halacha should be left to spoil. Av Truma B'Yad Yisrael, if it's Truma that belongs to Yisrael, then the halacha is Tenos L'Kohen Shemir Acheres, just give it to a Kohen that lives in a different city, and therefore it will be used and saved. We can't give it to the Kohen from this city, because the Kohen from this city, and if it's an asset that's in this city, the Kohen keeps it. So it must be that we give it to the Kohen from another city who will be able to use it. And Reb Chaim Oizer, in his Sefer Achiezer, says, from here we see that the fact that a Yisrael has Tovus Hanoah, that the Yisrael has a right to choose which Kohen he's giving the Truma to, doesn't make him the owner of that Truma, and therefore it's not considered Truma, it's not considered as if it's the property of Yisrael.